All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Are You Not Kentertained? Episode number 9. Today's date is October 24th, 2016. Today we are here to talk about The Walking Dead and its Season 7 premiere. I am joined by yet another new face that you can't see, but a new voice at the very least. His name is Eric. Eric, say hello to the wonderful two people that listen to this stuff.
Hello, people.
We're just going to jump right into it. I mean, that was, you know, probably one of the most built-up episodes in TV history. I mean, we're not just talking about Walking Dead. We're talking about this is like this generation's Who Shot JR, right?
Yeah, it really is. And it shook me.
Were you happy that they took so long to do the reveal for the death?
Nah, it's their MO though, to drag it out as much as possible to keep it, you know, at the edge of your seat. But it's what they do, so I'm used to it. You know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad they did it that way to draw the episode out, but you always want to know who gets it first off.
Yeah, definitely. Like, originally, in my mind, I'm like, they're not going to fucking drag this out. They've already dicked us around enough last season with the fake Glenn death, the Daryl getting shot, and then the fucking cliffhanger, right?
So I'm thinking, sure.
Well, you know, they're going to show us something. And then once they revealed that trailer, what was it, last week, with the Rick with your right hand and the hatchet and stuff, I'm like, that's going to be the opening scene, because that's just how they do it.
Yeah.
In case anybody is not aware, there's going to be lots of spoilers here, so if you're not caught up, probably stop listening to us. So I guess really the big thing to really talk about is the deaths. Was either one surprising to you?
Yes and no. Like, you know that Glenn couldn't cheat death for more than once in his life, so you kind of knew. But Abraham, that was a shock because he was just a random person,
right?
You know, like all the theories and stuff that he had didn't point to him.
Glenn, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie franchise Final Destination.
Yeah,
but like,
a little bit.
Glenn's been living Final Destination for 7 seasons now. Like, he's cheated death's plan time and time again.
Yep.
And I'm glad they gave us the iconic death, because fans of the graphic novel, comic, whatever the hell you want to call it, that's what they wanted. I mean, you want it and you don't want it because you're attached to Glenn, but that is the issue that made that. That's the iconic moment. So you want that. I mean, right down to the eye popping out. Jesus, like, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was awesome and it was disgusting at the same time. But
I gotta say, you know, did you watch Talking Dead afterwards?
No, I didn't catch it.
Okay, so. What was your take on Glenn's final words? What was it? I'll find you, Maggie, or something along those lines.
That was probably from Terminus, when he was just so dedicated to finding Maggie. He did just get knocked in the head with a baseball bat covered in barbed wire, so I'm sure he wasn't thinking all clearly, but...
I think people are, so far what I've seen, people are making a big deal out of, like, oh, it's so romantic, Glenn's going to find her no matter what. And it's like, the dude just got whacked on the head by Lucille. He is not thinking clearly. Like, his mind is not...
Nah, his mind's mush.
Yeah. People want to romanticize it. Women want to romanticize it. Let's face it. Women want to romanticize it because that's what women are here for. That's why the romance exists in Walking Dead. Because if you read the comics, romance doesn't really exist that much in the comics. Michonne's a filthy whore in the comics. romance is much more built on the show because that's how you get couples to watch the show. If you don't include romance, it just becomes Sons of Anarchy.
Right, for sure. You gotta have someone there.
Right. And even Sons of Anarchy, at least they throw in Jax Teller's ass like 7 times a season, so that kept the girls there. God, I liked both deaths. Although I'm gonna miss Abe more than I'm gonna miss Glenn.
Me too.
Abe had great one-liners. He was funny, and he hasn't. I mean, he only came in season 4. You know.
Yeah, he wasn't there very long.
I just found this out. He is 51, soon to be 52. He does not look like a 51-year-old dude.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He was good. I like this character. And you know, no one's safe in the realm of The Walking Dead, but there's some other people who could have gotten it, except for, instead of him, you know, who meant less to the squad.
If you could replace Abe's death with somebody, who would you have taken out personally?
That one cat from Alexandria.
Spencer?
Spencer, yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Without... Because, I mean, I have no definitive proof other than what I know from the comics. But if I was a betting man, I feel that something plays out with Spencer this season. And people will probably be happy with it. But you never... Once again, you never know. I mean, Denise took Abe's death, for instance. People take everybody else's death. Like, it's just the way that it goes. Like... I'm grim, but I really wanted Maggie to get it. I feel that killing Maggie was like this morale crushing, like soul crushing thing to the group. Like, you have a pregnant lady, and you know that there's a guy that's with her, so you already know there's that personal attachment. Negan doesn't need to know anything else. He knows there's a personal attachment. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
And simultaneously, you're like, they're not going to have Negan bash in a pregnant lady's head on.
Right. Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure that would have canceled the series right there. Like, you would have had it would have blow up if they whacked a pregnant lady in the head with a baseball bat. You know.
I think that's why they had to do the 2 kills though, because I think 1 kill may not have gotten the point across. Like, they really drove it into the ground, right?
Yeah. Well, I figured they only killed Glenn because Daryl attacked Negan, and that set him off even more.
Do you hold Daryl responsible for that?
Not necessarily. That was just him reacting to him pummeling Abe's skull into the ground, you know. But they kind of knew that Negan is a no frills kind of guy, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And you know, is Daryl responsible for Glenn's death? No, because like we all said, Glenn's been Final Destination himself since season, you know, 4 or 3 at best, so I don't really blame Daryl, but I took that as payback for him punching Negan.
See, I took it as Glenn killed Glenn, in the fact that Glenn, after being told not to do anything, like, Glenn's still, like, you know, the last season, at the very end, you know, he kind of got up and went towards Maggie briefly.
Yeah.
And I felt that was going to come back and bite him in the ass. And it was hilarious. As I'm watching it, like, you know, 10 seconds before Glenn gets it, I don't know if you were watching Glenn, like, all I could do was focus on Glenn, and he's, like, just looking like a dumbass.
Yeah.
He had such a dumbass look on his face, and it was kind of funny to me. I'm like, well, that's a little bit of levity, I guess, for the moment before the, you know, skull-crushing moment.
Right.
Something that I've talked about with a couple people. Me and Brian talked about this last night. Negan, do you think that he's really a bad guy?
A bad guy? I don't know. He's obviously a leader of that crew, and he's trying to preserve dominance over those you know, his crew. So he's got to, you know. A bad guy, yeah, he probably is a bad guy concerning the Rick's group. I don't know about everyone else on the planet, but I'm sure concerning Rick and his crew, he's a bad guy.
From their perspective, yeah. I just have to question. I mean, shit, Rick's group basically took out, what, like 50 of Negan's men And we're sitting there saying, Negan's a bad guy because he took out two of Rick's group. And it's only because we have the personal attachment. But the reality is, Rick's group's kind of a dick. Like,
yeah.
Like, we don't want to look at it that way. It's kind of like in Sons of Anarchy. You watch Sons, right?
I never did, no.
Well, it'd be like, you know, you're dealing with a motorcycle gang running drugs, and, like, they're still, like, the good guys because that's what we know, but the reality was nobody was really a good guy, and I feel the same here.
Right, yeah. No one, even Rick is a bad guy, per se.
Right.
You know.
Negan, which hopefully, I assume that they'll go much more into detail about how Negan runs things at the compound. He has a very good system, at least if they stick with the comics. And it's a very much, you know, you pull your own weight, you get supplies to live. Basically, you get rewarded for working. And there's really nothing wrong with that. He protects his people. He makes a statement, and he takes what he can get. And people are, in all reality, if there was an apocalyptic event, there are going to be people like that. We didn't even need this story to exist for people. There's always going to be people that want to take, and run shit.
Right, yeah.
In this case, he's not... He's a good leader at the very least.
At the very least, he's a solid leader.
Yeah. I can't say that he keeps his people safe because he's lost 50 of them, but...
But he seems to have a lot more, so...
Oh my gosh, they just keep pouring out, and one guy I'm interested in is Simon. I didn't even realize that was his name. Like, they probably mentioned it last season, but I picked up that his name was Simon this episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if Simon exists in the comics, but he interests me. I don't know, like, why, but I really want this guy's backstory, and I don't... There's, like, this inexplicable draw to this guy that's just like this little right-hand man. He doesn't seem tough. He doesn't seem like a badass. He just seems... He just seems there. He's like Milton for the governor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And fun fact, Simon is... The guy who played Simon is the voice of Trevor in the GTA 5 video game.
I looked that up, and I did know that, and then I... Like all useless random facts, I forget them like within 30 minutes or less.
Yeah, yeah, and you know.
So there you go, gaming fans. There you go.
Yeah, he seems just kind of like the right hand man. Like he's not like a badass or tough guy. He's just kind of there. He does his bidding and whatnot.
He's like an organized dude, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Badasses need the organized dude to carry out business, or else he's going to fail. So, yeah. Did you think that an arm or hand or anything was going to get cut off? Like, because I mean, they really built that up well.
They did. They really built it up well with Rick losing, you know, getting with the axe and then with Carl. I honestly didn't think that Rick was going to cut off Carl's forearm, but they did build that up with Rick at least. That he's going to cut off his right hand. You know, right. He kept saying right hand man, you know. But it didn't happen. But I thought they were gonna go that way.
I thought there was gonna be a point in the RV where Negan was just gonna cut Rick's hand off because like he kept doing shit with the hatchet. Then he cleaned it off. I'm like, he's cleaning it off just to make it dirty again.
To make it dirty again. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
And then like they just kept playing and toying with it, and then the whole including Carl into it. And out of the weird thing for me is that of any moment in that whole episode, the moment that stuck with me was Carl telling his father to just do it.
Yeah, just do it, just do it. That stuck with me too, because there he's laying on the ground. And what happened to Rick? Like, he just a sniveling shell of himself.
He broke Rick. Like, that was...
Yeah, that's... I really hope that they don't continue with that line of breaking Rick, because it's not what we're used to. You know, there's got to be some sort of transition. Like, you can't go from being top badass for so many seasons and then one guy breaks him in the span of a couple hours.
The way that the comic plays out without spoiling anything is, I mean, eventually Rick does get his groove back, for lack of a better term. The thing that I'm wondering, and I don't know if it was ever really definitive in the comic, was at what point did Rick ever lose his edge, or did Rick at that moment make that decision that, all right, I'm going to pretend that I'm broken, or was he really broken and then got his groove back? I don't know if they ever clearly defined, because there comes a point where obviously Rick makes his comeback.
Right.
That much is obvious.
Right.
But
it's just weird to see him in this state. Like, even at Terminus, he never said at any point, he never laid down at any point, even against all odds. And he knows now that he's outgunned and outnumbered.
Did you notice the similarities between the beginning where Rick's like, I'm going to kill you? That it was such a huge parallel visually and dialogue-wise to the Terminus between him and Gareth, to the point like Negan and Gareth both like kneeled down to look him face to face.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool how they did that.
Yeah, they played it over again, per se, with Negan in that situation. But Negan won this round, at least.
Do you feel that... going back to Terminus for a moment, and I always felt that Terminus, although that season 5 premiere was one of the all-time greatest badass episodes... Do you feel that they could have stretched that out for at least 2 or 3 episodes? Like, didn't that have a little bit more meat on its bones to, like, explore it a little bit deeper than just have... Like, I felt like Michael Bay was involved. They blew their load in one episode.
Yeah, they could have gone more into the depth of the group and how it worked. But like you said, and that they just blew everything up and walked into the sunset. And that was a defining moment for Carol also in that episode when she took everyone out and kind of saved the day.
Carol, but, and even Tyrese, like, he was a pussy that whole episode, but then he fought his way back in to save Judith.
Yeah.
And I almost wish they would have shown more of that, and I would have actually, I wouldn't have minded a full episode of them just showcasing the rise and fall of Terminus.
Like a flashback or whatever, kind of escape it to show how it began or whatever.
Yeah, like they did with Morgan with, what was it, Eastman or John Carroll Lynch?
John Carroll, yeah.
Like, I would have been fine. Give me an hour episode of how Terminus came to be and show us. That would have been a sweet-ass episode.
That would have.
Believe me, you guys could have cut down on Father Gabriel backstory. Nobody...
No one cares about Father Gabriel and the backstory.
Right. It's like... me personally, I'm even a Father Gabriel fan, and I'm saying that nobody gives a fuck. But it's just... I don't know. That was a missed opportunity, and I felt the wolves. Once again, like, they were built up. They had that episode where... Who was it? Aaron and Daryl were trapped in the car, and Morgan came and saved the day. And then, the next season, 2 episodes in, the wolves had that big attack in Alexandria.
Yeah, and it kind of just faded in the sunset.
Right. I want to see something. It'd be kind of cool, like, to have Negan's group just find the rest of the wolves trying to, like, come in and attack Alexandria as Negan comes for a pickup, and just have Negan's men slaughter the wolves. Something like that, just to tie it at the end.
That way it shows that there's more than one dominant group in the area. You get Negan's group, you get the wolves. You know, if Terminus was still around, you could have Terminus, but they seem to eliminate.
Right.
You know.
Now, Terminus. Terminus was close to the area that they're in now?
Now, yeah, I think so.
Like, they're in Virginia, and they were in Georgia, but they were moving their way up, so it was, I can't remember if I ever figured out where in the hell Terminus really was, you know, location-wise.
Yeah, it's indescript at this point.
I mean, really, it doesn't matter. It's someplace between point A and point B. It would have been interesting.
Yeah, it would have.
Moving forward, I got the blog going on, which I'm going to shill myself right now and say, everybody listening to this, all 2 of you, go to 9twos.com. There's Walking Dead stuff, there's wrestling stuff, there's American Horror Story stuff. There's a bunch of horror film stuff. There's a lot of stuff, so go there, visit. Now, why I bring that up is because I'm doing the Walking Dead blog, where I have lots of people chime in their opinion. I ask questions, and Eric is one of them. And I do like to ask some of the questions from the blog on here, because some people would rather just listen to chit-chat than to read. Millennials, for instance. I love digging millennials. Who do you think is most likely to want to fuck with Negan? Who's going to be the first person from Rick's group that is like too gung-ho and just immediately tries to fuck with Negan, do you think?
Well, it was Glenn, but he's dead. Maybe Michonne? Maybe Spencer?
Spencer will be like his parents and try to make a deal. That's how I view Spencer.
More of a political.
I think it's going to be Carl. I know a lot of people think it's going to be Maggie. I think it's going to be Carl. Because
it could be Maggie once she gets
healthy.
But she's pregnant, healthy. When she gets healthier.
I think she's just too weak right now to go on that quote unquote revenge foolish mission.
Yeah.
And Sasha's also a possible candidate because of Abe.
Because of Abe, yeah, that's true.
But Carl, I don't know. Carl, I'm a huge fan of Carl. He's definitely one of my few remaining favorite badasses, which I consider Carl a total badass considering his age. I think he's one of the best fighters that they have now.
Yeah. And
And he's only got one eye. Like the hair, everything's working out well for him.
It is. That is a possibility too. Carl could step up and fuck around with Negan.
Let's face it. The muscle's gone. We've lost Abe, Glenn, and Daryl is trapped in bumfuck here in the compound.
Yeah.
Who's
going to step up and really try to screw the plan up? It could be Carl. I'm thinking Michonne, or it could be anybody. Maggie's probably got a vendetta more than anybody because they killed the baby daddy.
Yeah. Maggie's got an axe to grind, probably literally and metaphorically.
Yeah.
I'd like to see somebody like Heath step up, because I like the character of Heath, and I mean, Heath and Glenn were running partners. And, goddamn, I don't think Negan really understood. Glenn was, like, the most key person to keep around, because he was one of the best people at scavenging shit.
Yeah, he was the scavenger.
Like, Abe, okay, like, he was muscle, but Abe, for all intents and purposes for Negan, like, he wasn't the gatherer or anything, but Glenn was actually...
Glenn was a scavenger.
Yeah.
From first episode, Glenn was a scavenger.
I'd like to see Heath's role increase quite a bit. And do you think next week, do you think it's going to be all Morgan and Carol in the kingdom? Do you think it's just going to be about that story and fuck Alexandria for a week?
Probably. Probably. Yeah. Do you think what's going to happen to Carol and Morgan? Are they going to regroup? Are we gonna have two stories?
I think they're gonna stay around for a little bit, get the lay of the land, and I think King Ezekiel, from what I know about him, is that he's a very theatrical guy. He's not. It's not like he's some big imposing Tyrese type badass. He's actually just a presence more than anything. I think he might see the value in keeping Morgan and Carol around, possibly to train. Because their fighters are not that good at the kingdom, from everything that I know, both from the show and from the comic. It makes sense. Why not have Morgan teach them? Like, you don't need weapon. You don't need like badass guns to be devastating, as Morgan has proven. You know.
Right. Yeah.
And Carol's one of the most resourceful human beings that is remaining. So, I think we're gonna see them stay there for a while, and maybe they'll come back. And they'll probably come back like at this weird time when Alexandria needs them most type thing, because that's what Carol does.
Yeah, she comes back at the most. Yeah, when you don't expect her to come back. I'm still mad she left.
I am too.
She kind of broke herself with all the death of the children that were there. That kind of broke her. And
Lizzie and Mika, man, I don't care. Lizzie's death was still like, I don't care. That was one of the saddest deaths, in my opinion, just because I'm a fan of that story, which I can't think of right now, which I'll just have to look up. But you carry on with something about Carol while I look up the name of the story.
Yeah, she broke herself, and I don't like seeing her like that. I've read some of the comics with her, and she's a different person. Between TV Carol and comic Carol are two different people.
Oh my god, it's amazing how well developed the TV version of Carol has become.
Yeah. Even from teaching the kids how to defend themselves with the knives at the prison.
Right.
You know, after Sophia and Mika and Lizzie, she wanted to protect the kids and keep them safe, and now she couldn't do that, and she went all Section 8 on herself.
The story I was thinking about was Of Mice and Men. I don't know if you're familiar with it. There was a movie. It had Gary Sinise and John Malkovich.
Yeah, with the rabbits.
The rabbits, yeah. So yeah. It was basically the exact same ending with
Carol. Yeah, look at the rabbits, look at the flowers. Yep. Yeah.
God, that ending always kills me too, but that movie, it's a really good story though.
Yeah, but that scene with the look at the flowers was riveting in its own right. Yeah, you know.
She was such a complicated character, really, Lizzie, because she had such a weird viewpoint on the way shit was, because we kind of have to forget that these are kids. Like, how Carl is nearly as sane as he is right now, concerned the age this started and where he's at now, is astounding.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's astounding that he isn't going psycho like they did, at being his age from season one to now. Season one, he was a little kid, and now he's obviously grown up, but he never went off the train tracks like Lizzie did, and Mika. But her character was very developed, because she still looked at them as human beings, even at the prison. And when she killed her sister, that was interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, I want to get back to Carol, but I do got, while I'm thinking about it here, I'm making notes as I go. Do you think that they have intentionally kept off kids because they don't want to show the psychosis of kids because it's difficult, or because that there's just not many kids left, like kids just didn't survive?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, they probably kept the kids off the show as much as they could for that reason, because they didn't want to show the children in an apocalyptic scenario with zombies and whatnot, and they just haven't survived. It's definitely is at this point in the game, the walkers aren't really the threat as much as regular people are, you know.
Right. And which is, goddamn, I still want to see a walker death at some point this season, because I feel that they need to remind us that, hey, these guys can still kill you. It's just that they're so slow and mushy now.
Yeah.
They really are.
They really are not a threat as much as they were.
Right.
But they do need a good walker death to remind us where we are.
Going back to Carol, I gotta say this. Like, I'm thinking about it, and I've always been a huge fan of Katie Sagal, or Sagal. I don't know how you fucking...
Yeah,
you
know. Sagal.
You know, I mean, she's played so many awesome roles throughout the years, between Peg Bundy on Married Children, Jem Teller on Sons of Anarchy, Leela on Futurama for you cartoon fans.
Like, great show.
Everything she's done, like, to me, she's the greatest actress for TV, as far as, like, she's owned quite a few shows. Like, it's not like Mary Tyler Moore, who just owned it, or Lucille Ball. Like, Katie done multiple things.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I think Carol may be my all-time favorite female character of a television show. Like, she's slowly, like, creeping up to... I don't know the last time I've seen a character go from... who she was in season one and season two to what she is. Like, it's been an incredible arc.
It has. She came from season one being an abused housewife, and you slowly saw her arc and develop into what she was at Terminus and what she was at the prison, and she was in prison, but yeah, the farm and all that stuff.
And she needed protecting from T-Dog in the prison, left T-Dog. Yeah. And then she stepped up, killed Tyrese's woman. I think it was Karen was her name.
It was Karen and somebody else. She killed and burned the bodies, and then...
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm captivated by her so much at this point that... I mean, aside from, like, Rick and Carl, she's definitely my favorite female on the show at this point.
Yeah, she's definitely as part of the core four, Rick, Carl, Daryl, and Carol. You know?
So let's talk about Daryl. Where do you see this going for him? Do you ever see him walking out of that compound alive?
Yes.
Like, how do you foresee that? Like, if you had to speculate or take a guess, like, how do you see Daryl reuniting with Rick's group?
When he got lost looking for Beth.
Yeah.
And met up with the Claimers. Yeah, he got out of that. He's probably able to talk his way out. He got out of the Claimers. You gotta hope that he can get out of this one. That they're not gonna chop him up or Lucille or whatever. I read a lot of stuff online that's speculation of where he's gonna go. You know, his character never existed in the comic books, so it's kind of, he's kind of up in the air as far as survivability.
See, like, I was, and gosh, I haven't read anything online. I'm trying my best to, like, find this, like, weird middle ground where I like theories, but I hate the fact that people actually go out of their way to spoil stuff that is actually known. Like, it's okay to say this happened in the comic because we know that stuff that happens in the comic does not always translate to TV.
Right.
Or it's different people. But, like, you know, there were spoilers out about Glenn and Abe, for instance, and that shit pisses me off. Just, like, it's one thing to say, hey, I think this, but to say, this happens, we have footage, I think that's such a dick move.
It is a dick move, because it ruins it for anybody who's not.
Like, I'm a dickhead. Like, I'm a complete and utter asshole, and even I find that to be, like, a level of dickheadry. Like, you just don't fuck somebody over with that. But, I don't know. There was something in the comic, I can't remember the character... yes, I do. But basically, they brought this character back, Negan's group did, and unleashed them, but they were dead. They were a walker. And the walker actually takes out, I believe it's Denise in the comic.
Yeah.
But it's a familiar face that they brought back, Negan's group did. I was like, that'd be such a badass thing to do with Daryl, but they can't. They can't do it with Daryl because... God, if you watched Talking Dead, like, people got some reactions, and then Daryl came out, and it was, like, 90% chicks just high-pitched squealing and shit. You can't lose... You kill Daryl, you lose a chunk of a huge demographic.
Of a huge demographic, yeah. The old adage was, you know, Daryl dies, we riot. You know, because they didn't want... He's such an integral part of the show. That, you know, it would take a lot to kill him off. Like, they would lose a big chunk of viewers, I think, if they killed him off.
Yeah, because not only do women love him, but there's a lot of dudes that, you know, they see a part of them in him, like, you know, whether it be the motorcycle or just, like, a general, like, hunters may like him, or, you know, guys that may think, like, hey, I'm more badass or something. So Daryl has, like, this huge fan following, and although... I have to admit, Daryl, I softened on Daryl after the prison because of the Beth storyline. I hated Beth. The only time I really liked Beth was when she sang Tom Waits' Hold On in the prison because I love Tom Waits. Aside from that, Beth could have died whenever. I just didn't care about her storyline. They could have cut the fucking hospital stuff and gave us more Terminus stuff, and I would have been infinitely more happy because I didn't give a fuck about Dawn. I didn't care about Noah because, hey, let's craft Noah into this big character. Oh, he's going to die.
Yeah, exactly. Right, they kind of jammed the hospital scene in, even though that was the final scene when Beth kills that cop. That was a pretty powerful scene. But that was kind of jammed in there. Like I said, Terminus storyline would have probably been better.
Would you say, do you think, what scene sticks out for you more? Because I mean, we got two big scenes that come from that. We get the handoff of trading with Beth and the Beth shooting. We have that scene, and we have Noah's death, which I think is like one of the all-time, if not the most grisly death.
Well, the Noah scene is, like you said, a very grisly death, but no one really... I didn't really care about Noah.
Nobody cared. Everybody hates Chris. Everybody hated Noah.
I never really cared about Noah. The Beth scene, that was more of a quick shock, you know? She goes after her, she shoots her in the head, and then Daryl just unloads her. So that was more meaningful to me than Noah. See him get ripped apart, I didn't care. I was pissed that Beth got shot. You know, some people don't like her. I liked Beth just because. But yeah, the Beth scene was probably better for me than the Noah scene. Noah, I give a shit about
Noah. Did you want Daryl to hook up with Carol or Beth or both? Like, I mean, it just seems like Daryl keeps like. Daryl and Carol keep intertwining at various points in time, and you sit there and you're like, all right, maybe it's happening, maybe it's not, and then it never does type thing. And then Daryl had opportunities, clearly, with Beth, didn't happen. What do you think's going on with that? Like, is Daryl ever going to have, like, are they ever going to give the female fans the Daryl romance that they crave?
I don't know. Romance in the TV series is kind of tough because of everything that goes on. I kind of hoped that at one point that Daryl and Carol would do something just to get it over with.
Yeah.
And Beth was a younger female than Daryl.
Daughter-ish.
Yeah, almost like daughter-ish, like stupid daughter. But you kind of hope, like I said, that Daryl and Carol would do something. Is it possible now? Who the hell knows? Because everyone's scattered and Carol's with Morgan and Daryl's in a truck somewhere probably. So who knows?
Now, I want to delicately bring in a subject that I don't want to go on too much, but it's something that needs to be talked about, in my opinion. Michonne and Rick have a relationship, and it's an interracial relationship. So I'm bringing race into this briefly to say that it's nice, in my opinion, to see white dude, black chick dynamic, because if you see it in movies or in TV, it's almost always black dude, white chick dynamic. Like, I'm having a hard time struggling to think of, like, how often do you see the white dude, black chick dynamic in TV or in film? Can you think of, like, other times? It's, like, a rare thing, you know?
It is a very rare thing.
Like, I just want to applaud them for actually doing the opposite, I guess, like...
And keeping it going, too, not just making, like, a one-time thing. Like, drawing all that line more than one episode. That was good.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to like dwell on it. I just thought, I was like, all right, they did that in a tasteful way, and they did it in a different way than what is normally portrayed. So kudos to them.
Kudos to them, yeah, for sure.
I'd like to see Daryl. The only thing I can think of is Daryl is like, hey, I'm more valuable out there than I am in here as far as scavenging for you. That's to me, that's like Daryl's key out is. Daryl can hopefully like prove his worth or something, or maybe Daryl gets his face burned. I don't know. Like I could see that happening too.
I can see Daryl playing along just enough to get what he wants, and to be able to, you know, like you said, I'm more valuable to you outside scavenging than I am in here. You know, using that aspect. Listen, I know where I'm going, and I know I can survive on my own. You know, I can get you what you need. Blah blah blah, and try to develop that to get out to meet up with the Alexandria crew.
Yeah,
and with Rick and them, and not just, you know, be more useful.
It's not like he's going to be able to escape and just like hide. Like that's not right, possible. No. So like, no. It's got to be like a deal or a barter or something.
Or yeah, I'll go out and find this for you, and then meet up with Alexandria, talk with them, then go back to Negan and try to play both sides of the same card, but build up enough trust per se. To eventually get back with the crew full time.
I think, you know, I was just thinking about this. I think in Daryl's absence, I think Jesus is going to end up having to play a much bigger role. It only makes sense. Like, Jesus is a badass.
So, yeah.
I think he's going to take a little bit of the Abe Daryl badassery role. It only makes sense, really.
Yeah. And they had to bring it.
It would have been actually nice. I don't know. I kind of wanted Jesus in that lineup. I don't know why. I just did. I didn't want him to die. I just want him in the lineup.
You just want him there just in case?
It would have been, I don't know. I like Jesus. Like, I'm captivated by the character in the comic. I was really happy. Like, last season was great because we got to see Jesus and Negan, and now we're getting Ezekiel. We're getting Shiva. I don't know how to pronounce the tiger's name, but we are getting a fucking tiger, which I remember first time, like, I saw the tiger in the pages. I'm like, are they ever really going to pull that off on the show?
I'm excited to see that. I've only read a very small section of the comics, and just seeing the trailer on the TV, I'm excited to see how that's taken and where it goes. It should be good.
I think, you know, people think that, you know, reading it and watching it are basically redundant, and I have to really encourage people, like, yeah, you get kind of like this little short paragraph guideline of where things are kind of heading. But it doesn't tell you everything that you're going to see. It just kind of gives you some ideas. I think actually kind of knowing this stuff, it's not like a spoiler. It's like, it kind of helps you theorize and guess where other things are coming from, because you know that the show elongates things that may be like thrown away in one page on the comic. But for the show, it's just more, I don't know, TV friendly, so to speak.
Yeah.
Moving forward this season, what character really stands out that, like, you want to see how they, I don't know, I'll use the term evolve. Like, who do you want to see this season? Like, which one story intrigues you the most?
I want to see them develop Carl more than just Rick's kid. I want to see Carl evolve into more of an adult character than just a child character. I want to see Carl.
Carl is, I mean, if they follow, Carl is due for a really interesting story with Negan. And it's actually one of probably like my three or four favorite things from the comic was the dynamic between Carl and Negan, because, I mean, even in the lineup, you could tell that Negan actually respected Carl. Like, there was, like, this weird, like, he was impressed that, like, this kid's, like, a one-eyed badass kid.
Yeah.
And I liked how they did that. I really liked how they did that. And Carl's probably up there for me. And I don't know. I gotta say, Daryl has me focused. And I really want to see how they portray Eugene this season. I know positive things are coming for Eugene down the line, whether it be this season, next season, or fucking season 12. I don't know. But I know that Eugene's such a pivotal character, actually, in the comics. Which, I know a lot of women hate Eugene, which is bothersome. Like, they don't like the Tennessee top hat.
I hated Eugene for a while, but he's kind of grown on me. You kind of want to see him evolve into more of a violent, quote-unquote, take-care-of-himself kind of character, because he's always been Abe's underling, and now that Abe's gone, hopefully they evolve him more into a better character. But I do like him now.
He takes, like, weird baby steps in the comics before he's, like, a full-fledged I can handle myself type of guy. He's never like a badass, but he's a guy that he can wander and he's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still not quite there obviously now, but I mean, he's been roughed up twice now pretty bad.
Yes.
Well, three times if you want to count Abe beating the shit out of him.
And he's handled himself that way. He's not dead.
Right. Like he's come back from it. So that's cool. Thinking back, if you look at the whole franchise, the whole Walk of Dead franchise, was there ever, like, what's the one death that, I don't know, I guess made you saddest or, like, just kind of messed with you a little bit more than, say, others? Was there anything that stood out for you?
I don't know. I think they're all equally as shocking, per se. Like I said, the Lizzie death, that was kind of because it's, you know, it was a child and it was more of a security issue than anything else.
Yeah.
The Beth. Actually, you know what? Sophia.
Sophia, they drawn that out,
and then so the Sophia death, because they were she was right there under their nose for so long at the farm. Daryl spent so much time and effort trying to find that girl, and to draw it out that she was in the barn the whole time, as a walker. That was good. that was good.
I think, like, for me, I mean, there's a few. Tyrese's, only because it was such an amazing episode. Like, that episode of Tyrese's death, like, was such a neat little journey. I loved how they did that.
Yeah, it was.
Merle's death, because Merle's death episode, once again, was like this weird journey where he had Michonne, he lets Michonne go, he puts on Motorhead and takes out, like, half the governor's crew.
Yeah, and then he's a walker.
And then Daryl's fucking reaction was, Jesus. And the Shane death, like, I was such a huge Shane.
Oh, yeah, the Shane death, too. I like Shane.
Because Rick kills him, and then Carl pops him, and then this herd that we had never seen up to that point shows
just
up.
Just comes out of nowhere, and, yeah. I forgot about the Shane death, yeah.
Herschel's death also got to me.
Jim?
Oh, Jim, yeah, in season one.
In season one, Jim.
Yo. I would have loved. I wish they would have ever told us what happened to. I believe his name was Morales, the guy that had. I think he had two kids and the wife, and he went their separate ways in season
one. Yeah, he just disappeared, and that was it.
Like, they never explained. They did technically in the outtakes, delete scenes, whatever. The Vatos from season one.
Yeah.
There's an outtake that actually explains what happened, and it was supposed to be explained in the first episode of season two, but they cut it for time reasons. But there actually is an explanation, because I'm sitting there, like, waiting for the Vatos for, like, three seasons to return.
And they never showed up, yeah.
Right. I'll tell you, the death that has hung with me, and I don't know why, because I didn't even like the character, was Dale. Dale, like, the execution of Carl fucking it up, because nobody could watch Carl for whatever reason, and then Dale gets it, and the whole time I'm like, I fucking hate Dale, because he's, like, I didn't like his argument for anything, but he was still part of the group, and then the fact, like, he couldn't talk, and I liked how Daryl was the one that put him down. It wasn't Rick, it was one of the times that Daryl got to put somebody down, and that whole thing, I don't know. That one's always stuck with me. And I sit there and I think, like, I remember during season three, a lot of people shit on season two. But season two was fucking great. Like, the first half wasn't great because there was a lot of time wasted looking for Sophia, if you want to consider time wasted. But the second half, you have this whole Randall situation. You had the epic Shane versus Rick fight when they're trying to drop Randall off. And then you have the whole discussion of what to do with Randall, which leads to Dale's death. Then Shane's death, because Lori's mind-fucking Rick and Shane into being barbaric assholes.
Right.
And then you have the Herd episode. I don't know. Season 2, I think, gets a really shitty reputation, which I don't think is fair.
And they had a lot of pivotal episodes, or pivotal times in that season.
Yeah.
Except with the Shane, the Rick. I forgot about Randall entirely. Because of the Vatos, they spent way too much time on that dude. They should have offed him at the start.
Randall?
Yeah, they should have offed him right at the start.
Do you think that Randall was a member of a group that we've already seen, or do you think it was just a random gang?
I really think it's just a random gang. You know, when they're in that bar, Herschel, Glenn, and Rick are in that bar, and I'm shooting those two cats, and then that random gang shows up to get them. I really think they were just, you know, people roving through the towns trying to find supplies. I don't think they were part of any specific group.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I saw a lot of shit about them possibly being, like, a member of the Claimers, and I'm like, none of those guys acted like the Claimers.
No, they didn't.
In my opinion.
They weren't dressed like the Claimers. They didn't act... No, they were...
Yeah.
They were the wrong group.
Do you think... Now, you know, there's 100,000 memes if you go on Facebook, and I know you're not a Facebook guy, so bless you for being cool and staying the fuck away from Facebook, because fuck Facebook.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm stuck in the hellhole. there's memes, and everybody's like, oh, Governor wasn't nearly as badass as Negan. I don't know. I think back. Now, granted, Governor was not portrayed as badass in the TV show as he was in the comic. In the comic, he rapes Michonne and cuts off Rick's hand.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, when I read that, I was amazed. And then Michonne cuts off his arm and gouges his eye out. She goes ballistic on the Governor. And they really should have done that in the TV series, because that would have been phenomenal.
Governor should have either raped Maggie or Michonne. Like, yeah, I know. I'm right now advocating rape. Yay, rape. But seriously, like, it was character development. Like,
yeah,
it really would have been.
You see Maggie shirtless with Beck, you know, running away from the Governor. I think it would have developed his character more if they had stuck at least that aspect with the comic than with their own storyline.
Absolutely, and I mean, now we won't see. Well, if the show makes it beyond this story arc, which is probably going to be 2 seasons, then, you know, it's no secret, half the people know, there's a group called the Whisperers. Morgan has even made reference to the Whisperers in season 3.
Right.
If we make it to the Whisperers, we might actually get raped, but I don't think so. I don't think we're ever going to get raped, because Negan, which people don't know yet, but I mean, Negan is very anti-rape. He's made that very clear in the comic. So I don't know. I thought that was a thing that they kind of missed the boat on the Governor. And goddamn it, I love the Governor. I like David Morrissey. I'll catch him on something. You know,
he was a good character, and you grew to love to hate him. When he killed Herschel, that was...
Yeah.
Because Herschel, again, lived Final Destination for such a long time after losing his foot. You kind of hoped that he would have gone longer, but obviously he didn't.
Herschel, you one tough son bitch.
he was one tough son bitch, for sure.
Old tough son bitch with unlimited shotgun ammo on the far...
on a 12-gauge pump. Didn't have to reload once. He must have threw off 100 rounds and never had to reload once. I need one of those.
Oh my god, absolutely. Like, it was like he was playing a video game at that point.
Yeah, he was definitely Call of Duty in that Walker raid.
So, a question that I often have, and it comes up in big events. How do you think things would change if Shane was still alive, and like him and Rick could have worked through their differences? Everything else could be the same right now, but Shane's still alive. Like, do you think that Rick would have been so gung-ho to kill all of Negan's men? Like, would Shane have pushed him to be even more crazier? Do you think anything would have changed as far as dealing with Negan had Shane still been alive, and him, Shane and Rick been back to being partners, so to speak?
Well, you got to go back to Otis. You saw a change in Shane after the Otis incident at the refugee camp when he killed Otis. You see Shane kind of flip over to the dark side once that happens. So if that never happened, I think Shane would have been more of a leveler head, per se. But once he killed Otis, he kind of flipped over to the dark side, and that was his. I think that was his demise. Because he was so focused on Lori and Carl, and now Rick's back, and fuck him, and but you see a shift,
yeah,
in Shane. So pre Otis, I think Shane would have been a good partner for Rick, and from then on. But I don't think he was able to survive after he killed Otis.
I mean, really, last season we saw shades of Shane in Rick's behavior. Really, I mean, we saw a lot of Shane in Rick's actions last season. So. I don't know. Shane's like that one character of any character. If I could bring back just one character, it's always going to be Shane, because I liked him so much. And even when he did what he did to Otis, I don't necessarily know if they get the medical supplies back for Carl if he doesn't do what he did to Otis. I don't know.
Oh, for sure. They would have both been dead if he didn't sacrifice Otis. But like I said, you see more of a temperance shift in Shane.
The shaved head,
and he's the hat, and he's all, yeah, you see him go. Listen, I gotta wrap this up.
Okay. Well, do you have any parting thoughts before we wrap this up and I go and do my final bit?
All I can say is that if Daryl dies, be right. That's all I can say.
Fair enough. Can the audience expect to have you back here at some point?
Yeah, for sure, man. I'll come back. Talk. Awesome.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Are You Not Kentertained? My guest was Eric. We talked some Walking Dead. Hopefully we can do this in maybe even on a weekly basis. Depend on your schedule and shit, but if you can, we will.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for joining me, and thank everybody for listening.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And we'll be back next week or the next week after that. All right, have a great one, guys.